It's December the 4th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. What a great journey this has been. Long time ago, we started in the book of Genesis back in January, and so we've gone January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, 12th month of the year. By the way, all the videos are archived online. Just go to keepbelieving.com. You'll see a link there that says, Let's Read the Bible. Click on that. That'll take you to a page where all the videos are organized by month. January videos here, February here, March here, and so on. God willing, by the time we get to the end of December, 365 videos covering the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. So thank you for joining with us. Just one quick reminder that I've got my Bible reading list got my sheet of paper with the different books we're covering this month, and we're wrapping up the book of Hebrews today. But starting on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, the last 6 days will be in the book of Revelation. And for those 6 days, we're going to be doing this live. Now, you know, I've told you, I've been taping these ahead of time. It's really the only way we could do it with all the travel that Marlene and I have done this year. But for those last 6 days, cleared my calendar, God willing, we are going to be home. So from this office, my office at our home here in Shawnee, Kansas, 7 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, 7 a.m. Central Time, I'm going to be here. We're going to do it live, working without a net, so to speak. If there's a blooper, there's just a blooper, and we just go ahead. You know, on these, when we're doing these videos, if I make a big mistake, we can edit it out. But there'll be no editing it out on those last 6 days. We're just going to do it all together. It's going to be fantastic. So, yeah, and don't worry about it. You don't have to watch it live, but I hope you will. We're going to post them immediately. So whenever you are used to watching the videos, you'll be able to watch them per usual on Facebook, on YouTube, on Rumble, at keepbelieving.com. But I hope you'll join us. I am so excited to read that last book of the Bible live together, wrap up this year on a very high note. Boy, what a year it's been. What a year. Some high moments, some really difficult times, and we're just going to end up where the Bible ends up, with Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. So get ready for that, starting the day after Christmas, the 26th through the 31st, live 7 a.m. Central Time from right here in my office. Now today, Hebrews 12 and 13. About this book of Hebrews, better. That's the key word. Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the law of Moses. He's better than his priesthood. Is better than the Aaronic priesthood. He is far better than the blood of bulls and goats, because the blood of bulls and goats, as we discovered yesterday, can never take away sins. But Jesus, when he had offered himself once for all, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. He sat down because his work was done. So here's the outline of the book: the superiority of the person of Christ, chapters 1 to 4. The superiority of the priesthood of Christ, chapters 5 through 10. The superiority of the life of faith, Hebrews 11 through 13. And remember the five warning passages: the warning against drifting, chapter 2, doubting, chapter 3, a departing, chapter 5, despising, chapter 10. And we're going to see the last one today in the end of chapter 12, the warning against disinterest. And in some ways, you may think to yourself, drifting, doubting, departing. Maybe I should do it the other way. Drifting, doubting, departing, despising, and disinterest may seem like, is that really worse than despising? It's much worse, because the person who despises at least is thinking about who Jesus is. The person who is truly disinterested just doesn't care. And you know what? In the end, there really is no hope for the person who is utterly indifferent to who Jesus is, there's no hope because there's nothing that can be said or done for such a person. Don't ever let yourself get in that situation. I guess I really should say this at the end, but I'll say it now and again at the end. Drifting to us doesn't seem like any big deal. But what starts with drifting goes to doubting, goes to departing, goes to despising, and ends up with total disinterest in the things of God. Don't start here if you don't want to end there. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Lord, speak to us one final time from this wonderful book. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons, for what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weaken knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed instead. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears, because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. For you have not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which says better things than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not reject the one who speaks, for if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 13, final chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily, marriage is to be honored by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by food regulations, since those who observe it have not benefited. We have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle do not have a right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the gate so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace, for we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything, and I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes soon enough, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who are from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. I said early on that we don't know who wrote this. Honestly, I'm not persuaded that Paul wrote it, but I know you have these Bibles from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. I will say this in favor of Paul's authorship. The last part, say from verse 20 through this last paragraph, that does sound very Pauline to me. The rest of the book doesn't. Does it matter? I had a Greek professor who suggested that it could be Barnabas. That is somebody who knew, who wasn't Paul, but somebody who knew Paul and understood his theology and was steeped in the traditions of Old Testament Judaism and understood the law and the sacrifices and all that. So Paul, fine. Barnabas, fine. Apollos, I think maybe Luther said it was Apollos. Some people have said it was Priscilla and Aquila. Nobody really knows. I think if it mattered, we would have been told. It is the Word of God. These last two chapters are so, yeah, I want to read something to you from Hebrews chapter 12. There's so much here. There's so much here about enduring the discipline. If you're not disciplined, if you're not disciplined, it's because you're not a child of God. So don't fight against your sufferings. Don't fight against your hardship. I was reading an interview today with Johnny Erickson Tata. What a supreme example she is of a godly Christian. And she said, God hates it when we complain. I'm paraphrasing, but I think she said despises a complaining spirit. If anybody ever had reason to complain, I suppose it would be Johnny Erickson Tata. yet she has given her life to the Lord. And through the struggles of her of being a paraplegic and all that she has gone through, from that diving accident when she was a teenager, the millions of people she has influenced for the Lord. And she said that in the last couple of years, coming out of the pandemic, she was reading Brother Andrew's book, Practicing the Presence of God, and she's written a new book, sort of her take on Brother Andrew for the 21st century. And she said the thing that she really got out of it was we shouldn't complain. God is good. That we should learn even in our suffering to be thankful to God. That, I think, what Brother Andrew was saying and what Johnny Erickson Tata was saying is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Endure it. Yes, yes. We're not always going to be happy. Sometimes the best we can do is to endure it. But shouldn't we submit? Shouldn't we be glad? No discipline is fun. No, we don't have to pretend we enjoy it when we're going through a hard time. However, later on, the writer says, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I am skipping over so much here. We haven't come to a mountain burning with fire. We have come. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to myriads of angels, a festive. You've come near to the assembly of the firstborn. It's interesting. Proserkomai, you've come. It means to, erkomai is to come. Proserkomai means to come near. That in Jesus Christ, we've come near to Mount Zion. We've come near to the city of the living God, near to the angels, near to the assembly of the firstborn whose names are in heaven, near to God the judge, near to the spirits of the righteous in heaven already made perfect in Jesus. In other words, sometimes we think of heaven as being 10 million miles away. It's not true. It's not true. Heaven's another dimension of reality. Sometimes I think there's a gossamer veil that separates us from heaven. It's in Christ Jesus, we have been brought near the ultimate spiritual reality. And those who in Jesus have died in Christ, who've gone on before us, they are not that far away. Because Jesus, we have come near to ultimate spiritual reality. So why would we ever reject? Why would we ever turn away a God who's brought us in Christ so near to Him? Now look, this is Hebrews 12:25. His voice shook the earth at that time, yet now He has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. You know, you might read that a dozen times and still wonder what that all means. And I found this. This is from, this is from The Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase from The Message. His voice at that time shook the earth to its foundations. This time He's told us this quite plainly. He'll also rock the heavens, The Message. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. I got to say, I love that. What is God doing? You understand, the nations are being shaken. The world is being shaken. The world order in these last days is being shaken. What God is doing is, I think Eugene Peterson is right, a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk, thank goodness, so that all the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. God is shaking the earth all around us. And the things we thought we could trust in are falling all around us so that the only thing that will be left are the unshakable essentials of God and His Word. Put your feet, friends, on the solid rock. Put your feet on the solid rock. And while the shaking goes on all around you, you will be secure. Run to the rock. Stand on the rock. Plant your feet on the rock of our salvation. And no matter what happens in the world around us, you will be okay. We'll be okay. In that great confidence, go out and have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, we're going to hop from the book of Hebrews into the book of Amos in the Old Testament. I'll bet it's been a while since you've read the book of Amos. Come back tomorrow. We're going to read it together. God bless you, folks. See you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.